Hello, radio friends, and again I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is Minor Hawk, introducing you to another broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel radio program. As most of you know, this program is a non-denominational broadcast of what is often referred to as old-fashioned gospel preaching. And I believe, as I've said before, that it's unfortunate that preaching the gospel of God's grace in the fear of God alone should be referred to as old-fashioned. But friend, the fact remains that it is. Not too many pastors today preach the fact that man is born in sin and chastened in iniquity. They don't very often tell their congregations that they have to repent of their sin and to be born again by the Word and Spirit of God. And friend, you know as well as I do that very few preachers and priests speak about the judgment of God which awaits those who die without having accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. Well, in any case, this program of straightforward gospel preaching may not be too popular. But friend, I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm here to tell it like it is, and thank God He's the only one I have to please. Let's listen to our hymn for today, and it's entitled, Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, clasp for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flows be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no longer know, these for sin could not atone, thou must save and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this bleeding breath, when my eyes are closed in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, clasp for me, let me hide myself in thee, let me hide myself in thee.
Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy holy presence today to thank thee again for thy beloved Son, the solid rock. And our God, those of us who are saved today, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we're found in him, where there's therefore now no condemnation. But our God, we think of the poor unsaved, perhaps some listening in today. And Lord, we have every reason to believe, as we look about us in the world today, that if souls are not saved soon, the likelihood is they'll not be saved at all. So Father, we claim thy promise that thy word shall not return void. Honor afresh thy Son and thy word by saving souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now then, those of you who care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today a verse of Scripture as we find it in the New Testament book of Titus. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'll read the text again. This is Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now friends, those of you who were listening to this program several weeks ago may recall that I used the same text as I have today. At that time, we discussed very briefly the first part of the verse which says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And in our discussion of several weeks ago, I brought before you the fact that in the sight of a holy God, if you're unsaved, you're lost, you're guilty, and you're hell deserving in the sight of a holy God. And furthermore, if you're unsaved today, there's absolutely nothing you can do within yourself to warrant eternal life. No, my friend, all your so-called good works, your church membership, your education, and religious rituals are looked upon by God as nothing but filthy rags. We then mentioned the fact that three things were necessary for the salvation of your soul. First of all, there must be the conviction of sin. In other words, my friend, the Holy Spirit of God, through God's Word, must reveal to you your need for a Savior. You must be aware of your sinnership before the eyes of Almighty God. You must be fully convinced in your heart and soul that God would be just and righteous if He cast you into hell. Now, the second factor which is necessary for your soul salvation is the desire to be saved. Yes, the desire to be saved. Friends, there have been many instances where a sinner was deeply convicted of sin, yet they expressed no desire to be saved. They went on heedless and careless until it was too late, and then they dropped into the terrible abyss called hell, where even now they're weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. Oh, listen, sinner friend. God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man," and neither He will. And then I think of that most solemn warning in Proverbs 29:1. There God declares, "He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Then, friend, we have the third and final element in the soul's salvation, and that is faith in the blood of Jesus Christ as the atonement or propitiation for sin. Friends, God tells us over in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood there's no remission for sin. And that's the reason He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross. In 1 John 1:7, we read that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And now all the sinner has to do is to believe that soul-saving fact. Over in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And sinner friend, you too can be saved today by simply placing your faith or trust in Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, let me ask you at the outset today, if you're not depending upon the blood of Jesus Christ to take you into God's heaven, in what or in whom are you depending? Now then, friend, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like to bring before you the last portion of our text, Titus 3:5. The first portion told us, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." Now let's take a brief look at the rest of the verse. "By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Now perhaps someone is saying, "What do you mean by the washing of regeneration?" Well, friend, let me say at the outset that it has absolutely nothing with the ritual called baptism. There is no such thing as water baptismal regeneration taught in the Word of God. Baptism, my friend, according to the Bible, is nothing more and nothing less than a testimony. It's an identification with the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It identifies the believer as belonging to God's beloved Son. And it is an outward testimony of an inward change brought about by the new birth and indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Now, friends, this word regeneration is only found twice in the entire Bible. And the original word thus translated is not found anywhere in these two instances only. Aside from Titus 3:5, we find the word regeneration in Matthew 19:28. There we read these words by the Lord Jesus Christ. "Ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now then, friends, from this portion of Scripture, I believe that it's obvious to you that the word regeneration means a new creation, or in the case of Titus 3:5, a new birth. In the Gospel by Matthew, Jesus Christ is referring to the time when the earth will become a new creation. He Himself will reign in righteousness over all the earth. And my, what a contrast will exist when compared with the present conditions today. Yes, today the great powers of the world are working with devilish enthusiasm to seek means of destroying one another. Ah, but friend, but in that new creation, in the regeneration, we're told that men shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and the nations shall learn war no more. Now then, getting back to Titus 3 and verse 5, the only other place in the Bible where the term regeneration appears, we find it in reference to the work that takes place when a sinner is born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God from above. It speaks of the great change which takes place within the individual. The person who acknowledges his sinful condition before God and then accepts God's Son as his own and personal Savior. Now, friends, you'll notice that I said it was a change from within, not a reformation or turning over a new leaf. No, no. It's a spirit-born change that takes place within the heart, the mind, the body, and the soul. And following the change within, then we have the change without. You know, too many people today, I believe, are trying to change the outward appearance without ever experiencing the new birth. Listen, friend, you can't play church with God. No, you can't play church with God. His Word tells us that He is a jealous God and therefore demands first place in your heart and in my heart too. Friends, there must be a change from within, or we've never been saved at all. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, God declares, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." My, what soul-searching words those are. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, friends, in our text, God tells us that He saves us not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration. Now perhaps there are many of you listening in today who are familiar with the third chapter of John. There we read of an interview which the Lord Jesus Christ had with a Pharisee called Nicodemus. He was a teacher and ruler of the Jews. In verse 3 He tells Nicodemus that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then when Nicodemus questions the meaning of the new birth, Jesus goes on to say in verse 5, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, I'm sure some of you are saying, "Well, doesn't that prove that the Scriptures preach baptismal regeneration?" No, my friend, it absolutely does not. And the reason I say that is simply because the word water, especially in John's writings, as well as in many other parts of the Bible, is a recognized symbol of the Word of God. In John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to a poor, sinful woman at the well of Sychar. She was what we today would call a woman of the streets, with a highly unsavory reputation. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about this woman, and of course His heart was filled with compassion for her, and His desire was to make her a new creature. So what does He do? Well, He spoke to her of that which the world of sin has to offer, and then in contrast, He presented the gift of eternal life, which she would have if she accepted the water which He would give. He said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," that's speaking of the well water, "shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, friends, the point I'm making is this. Whatever the word water means in chapter 4, it means exactly the same in chapter 3. Because we're told that we receive eternal life when we drink of the water that Jesus Christ gives. And in chapter 3, Jesus says we are born of the water and of the Holy Spirit. So then to be born again, saved, converted, or regenerated, and to receive eternal life are really one and the same thing. Now I know that some of you still aren't satisfied that the word regeneration means being born again by the water of the Word and Holy Spirit of God. In this case, let me just refer you to several other portions of Scripture which makes this fact more emphatic. In Psalm 119 and verse 9, David says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." In the book of Jeremiah, God scolds his people with these words, "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." In John 3 and verse 37, Jesus says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Yes, he offers the living water to all who will receive it. In Isaiah 55:1 we read, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. In other words, friends, listen to the word of God and come by faith to Jesus Christ to receive the water of eternal life. Friends, salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And in Romans 10:17 we're told that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Over in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 18, we read concerning those who are born again, Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. How are we begotten? How are we born again into God's family? By the word of truth. The Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, Being born again, or regenerated, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. There it is, friends. James says that we are begotten of God by the word. And Peter says that we are born again or regenerated by the incorruptible word and spirit of God. And sinner friend, if you want to be saved today, you can be saved and born again simply by believing what the literal word of God hath to say about the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, we read, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then in verse 14 of John chapter 1 we read that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, friends, once you behold the Son of God dying on Calvary's cross for your sin, you'll be regenerated by the Holy Spirit and Word of God. Now then, I want to refer you to just one more passage to prove to you that in the Scriptures the word water is quite often used as a symbol of God's Word. In Ephesians 5, verses 25 and 26, we read, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. So friends, when God tells us in Titus 3 and 5 that we're not saved by good works, but rather by the washing of regeneration, he is referring to his word, which arouses and convicts us of our sin. He is speaking of his Holy Spirit, which strives with our soul. And he is telling us that a regeneration must take place within each and every one of us if we ever expect to be in the kingdom of God. In other words, we can return to John chapter 3 and verse 3, where Jesus said to the religious man called Nicodemus, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now friends, let me ask you in all sincerity and love for your soul today, have you ever been born again? Now remember, friend, this is for eternity. So be honest with yourself. It's your soul we're speaking about. Yes, your never dying soul will soon be into eternity, and that means either heaven or hell. It means joy and peace and glory above, or pain and darkness in the pit below. So you see, friend, the question is very, very important, and upon your answer may depend your soul's eternal destiny. Let me repeat the question. Have you ever been born again? Has there ever been a time in your life's experience when you recall being convicted of sin, then accepting Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? If not, my friend, then you're still on the broad and crowded road that leads to the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. But friends, I want you to know today that this is still the day of God's grace. You can be saved this very moment if you'll only come to Jesus Christ by faith. If you'll only let him come into your heart, your soul, your mind, and your life. Friend, you can know the joy of sin forgiven today. You can know Christ as your Savior, God as your Father, and heaven as your home. So why not come to Jesus Christ today? Why go on without a Savior? Why go on trying to please God with your so-called good works or self-righteousness? Friend, just place your trust in Jesus Christ, and we have the assurance in John chapter 1 and verse 12 that to as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And friend, that's what God means by the new birth or regeneration. One moment you're a child of the devil, a child of wrath, a child of disobedience. The next moment, through faith in Jesus Christ, you're a child of God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, friends, some of you are listening to the gospel program today, perhaps for the last time. Between now and this time tomorrow, your body may be cold in death, yet your soul would be in the flames of hell. Yes, my friend, you awoke in good health this morning, never thinking you would die today. Yet this might be the date that will be on your tombstone as the date you died. There are some of you listening to my voice today, and you awoke this morning, never thinking of dying. And you put your clothes on this morning, never realizing it would be for the last time. Well, friend, you may have put your clothes on this morning. The undertaker may take your clothes off tonight. Now, perhaps there's someone listening in and you'd really like to be saved. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God has been speaking to you, and you realize that you're a lost and rebel sinner, but you've decided to put it off for a more convenient season. Listen, friend, you have no guarantee that you'll ever see the light of another day. You have no guarantee that you'll ever have another opportunity to accept Christ as your Savior and your Lord. In Hebrews 4:7 we read, Today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. And in Proverbs 29:1 I again tell you that God tells us very clearly that he that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And finally, my friend, I refer you to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, where God declares, Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, friends, there's one other thought I'd like to leave with you before I close, and that is this. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died on Calvary's cross, is soon coming again. Yes, the next great event on the prophetic calendar of God is the second coming of Christ. And it may be today. There need be not one prophecy fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the air to claim from the world His own. Yes, we have the assurance from His own blessed lips that if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Ah, but listen, sinner friend, He's only coming to claim from the world His own, only those who belong to Him. Only those who've been born again or regenerated by the Holy Spirit and Word of God. And you who are unsaved, my friend, that are listening in today, you'll be left behind to suffer the eternal wrath of a holy God. And friend, we read in Hebrews 10 and verse 31 that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yes, we're told that there's going to be two in one bed. One shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be working in the fields. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Tell me, my friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come right now during this Voice of the Gospel radio program, would you be taken, or would you be left? Oh, yes, my friend, the day of God's grace is soon drawing to a close, and if you're unsaved when you die, or when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, my friend, you'll be doomed and damned to hell and the lake of fire. And that, my friend, is going to be forever and forever and forever. So, friend, the decision is now up to you. As this broadcast leaves the air, you're either going to take your place as a lost and hell-deserving sinner and place your trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, or else you're going to turn your back upon the one who died for your sin. You're going to trample underfoot His precious blood, and you're going to go down to a lost sinner's hell. Friend, whether you realize it or not, out there in Radio Land today, you're making a decision. I read in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 where God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, acknowledge that you're a sinner. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul. And then in simple childlike faith, accept Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. My friend, if you'll do that right now, God's Word clearly assures you that you'll be born again. You'll be saved. You'll be regenerated. You'll be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And furthermore, you'll be as sure of heaven as though you were already walking the street of gold. But my friend, I want you to know, if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you're calling God a liar. You say, oh, I wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, you would. If you've heard the gospel before and you're still unsaved, you're calling God a liar. Over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, here's what we read. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Well, friend, I hope there's no one listening in today who's calling God a liar. No, my friend, why not take sides with God? Believe that he means what he says, and he says what he means. Friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we come into thy presence again at the close of another radio broadcast to ask thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, Zip Code 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.